Well, I hope you are doing well this morning. I'm Ben, I'm the lead pastor. And what we are really going to consider are those things that are most important. By the way, isn't it a great weekend? It's sunny in Seattle. The Seahawks won. This weekend, even after moving to a new facility about twice the size, Issaquah has already added another service in the middle of the summer. Really excited for what God is doing on that campus as well. What I'm going to do is this is sort of a standalone message. I'm in between series, so I can talk about whatever I want. I know that frightens many of you as you're here this morning. And I wanted to talk about something that I find in the scripture, and the scripture addresses a problem I've been hearing. I've talked to some people who say, you know, my life really makes more sense than it ever has before. Things are going really well. And other people who would say, I don't even know why. But there's sort of this angst of sorts in my life. That my life, I've done the things I thought I should do. I've had the priorities I thought I should have. But it's not living up to what people said it would be. It reminds me, when I was down in California, I broke my glasses. I wear contacts now. I only had one pair of glasses, not too smart. It was a Thursday, needed to preach that weekend. I had some nice green duct tape around them. Thought that probably wouldn't look too cool for the weekend down there. And so went into this place, happened to drive by a place called 1 Hour Eyeglasses. I thought, this is awesome. So I walk in, I choose my new glasses, I make my order, and the lady says, okay, you can pick these up Monday afternoon. I'm like, you know, you sort of lured me in by the name. I thought these would be done, let's say, in an hour or so. I didn't know, or change the name, call it, you know, whenever we get around to it, glasses, or, you know, 5 days to eternity glasses. And I was really disappointed because by the way, that was funnier than you laughed at. Yeah, it really was. So. Okay. hey, look, a squirrel. Anyway, when we look at our lives, sometimes we'd say, The advertise what's happening on the outside doesn't match with the inside. Psychologists call that congruency. In business, we call it alignment. And that's when life makes sense, makes the most sense. You know, this is no stranger throughout history. Apostle Paul, who wrote in the scriptures about this as well. He said, you know, it's what I want to do, I don't do. And the things I should be doing, I never get around to, and I end up doing those things that aren't that great at all. So how do we get to that place? And how do we get to a different place? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. In fact, if you'll take your outlines out of your program or download them online, that'd be great. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So what is he saying? He's saying that there's a way you can run that you won't get the prize. There's a way to direct your life, and you're going to say, I thought I was going to end up someplace different. And he says this, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. See, he seems to figure it out. He went from, it doesn't make sense, to, I've learned a few things. And I want to dig deep into that and deep into a story that Jesus told that really, I think, describes how we get out of that process. But first, I want to look at some of the things that help us or that really hurt us and we get off course. One of those things is anxiety. We all have fears. I've been around, in fact, this weekend is my wife and I, this is our 5th anniversary here at Timberlake Church. And during that time, oh, that's great, 3 of you like me. So the, I wasn't trying for the applause. By the way, is it hot in here or is it just all my coffee? It is hot? Can someone on the go get someone from the facility staff and tell them to turn on the air conditioning here? That would be a beautiful, wonderful thing, and we'll all be closer to Jesus. So if we could do that. So we all have fears. You know, we have fear of failure. We have, you know, whatever, zombies, whatever your great fear is in life. So those fears can get us off track when it comes to God's plan. There's also, number two, crisis. How many of you have been going down a path and things are going well, things are going great, and then you get to this point where, bam, something happens. And your whole world is rocked. You know, we laugh about the little crisis that we have. Those can be funny. I mean, for example, this last year, during the holidays, I really put on some weight. And for me, the holidays start around Labor Day and end on Easter. So so after that, I decided, hey, I'm going to get in shape, start losing weight, doing all of that kind of stuff. I'm eating food that I hate right now, and things are awesome. But there's a crisis coming in 30 days. It's a spectacular event. It's called the Puyallup Fair. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, they have fried grilled cheese sandwiches. In fact, I wrote something about that on my Facebook, and someone said, you shouldn't eat food like that. That's not from God. And I'm like, you don't know God then. That's a reminder of God's goodness and his grace there, for sure. So we have, and by the way, if you have fair scones, I mean, are they not the crack cocaine of the pastry world? Once you had one, you will have plenty more of them as well. So we have a crisis. And then there's relational turmoil. In fact, we're doing a whole series on this in the fall because, you know, a great day at work and a bad day at home is always a bad day. And then what I'm going to focus in on, number four, values conflict. And this is a reality I want to talk about today. And now, see, this is going to be different than the last month or so, where we looked at the one chapter books in the Bible. I got to show off my theological education. I always wondered why no one ever preached on those books until I studied them. Wow, it was a lot of work. But today, after today, you know what's going to happen? Some of you are going to say, oh, I hope. That was a pretty good message. I knew all that. I don't know why. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad you invested an hour on a sunny day? And some of you are going to say, in fact, I think I could become a preacher, you know? Yeah, I hear it's a full-time gig and you only work a few hours on the weekend, you know? And so you'll think it's so simple. Why? Because here is the dilemma, besides the air conditioning not being on. The dilemma is living according to values is easy to understand and difficult to achieve. See, we all get it. We all understand it. But I'm not saying a few. Most people I know, maybe a big majority, they don't live according to the values, at least they say they have. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story Jesus told. It's a parable, and a parable is basically a story someone made up. They can be Christian or non-Christian. In fact, there's two parables. They sort of say the exact same thing. By the way, we learn in stories, don't we? Especially guys. Ladies, you want to figure out your guys, why they... My wife even says to me, you know, how come you speak for a living, but when I ask you what's going on, you don't share any information? I said, well, I'm what scientists would call a man. And men don't share. We don't. When we get together, we don't say, hey, what we had for lunch, what we're feeling today. We usually share stories. And Jesus got that we learn through story. And so he says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And so the real thing that Jesus is getting at is, what do you value and what are you willing to pay for it? In fact, by the way, you know what you value? I can discern all your values. And it's what you're willing to pay for it. One of my favorite authors, he's actually a business writer, Patrick Lencioni, and he's written some great books. His latest one, The Advantage, he talks about core values. In fact, he's an amazing speaker. I going to, he's a Christian too. I was going to invite him here, but he charged $75,000 a day. So I thought, this is as good as it gets, baby. With that, either that or we better have an amazing offering this weekend. So he talks about values in terms of this. There are our core values. And see, we have a misunderstanding when it comes to core values. We think, I have decided these are my core values. Do you know you cannot decide what your core values are? You can't. You can only reveal what they are. You want to know your core values? Ask someone else. That's the only way to find out your core values. Isn't that frightening? Ask your employees what you value. Ask your kids what you value. Bob Buford, a guy wrote this book, Halftime. He multi-millionaire. A great businessman, also a great follower of Christ. He had a coach, a life coach, and he said, hey, what I've been able to discern is that you have two values that are both your highest values, but sometimes they come into competition with one another. He says, and by the way, the coach wasn't a Christian. He said, you want to love and serve God, and you also want to, you know, make a name for yourself and be really, really rich in business. He said, you know, you can do both of those things to an extent, but I need to know which is the primary one, and I can help you achieve that. And so what is our core value? We're going to talk about that. Jesus is saying it. That would be the pearl of great price. That would be the treasure hidden in the field. If you look around this, he talks about permission to play values. Those are, in business, honesty and integrity. Those aren't core values. Those are being a good human being, not being a sociopath values. And so really there are certain values that we should have, but they're not. It's not a core value. It's just this is what every person should do. And then there's accidental values. This is where I think you and I get tripped up. That someone would say, well, Ben, what you really value is this. And I'd say, oh, I don't value that. And what I find my, like, for example, it could be a good thing. I want my kids to be great at sports and academic success, and I want them to love Jesus. But I could find out that sometimes the priority, and the priority is shown by time and money and energy, is the priority is I have the wrong value. Maybe you say, I value my family first. And the truth is, we've been hiding behind our job, and we want to do a good job. Christians should be the best employees. I've said that before. But we're willing to sacrifice the family for the job. So that I know that's a little heavy. You can breathe. You can get over it. So there's also aspirational values. These are values that are not true of me now, but I would like to be true of me. By the way, as a church, we have this as well. One of the things 5 years ago, if you attended Timberlake, pretty much everyone was the same age, race, and income. That we were a pretty homogeneous group of people. And we said, you know what? This church should look like the kingdom of God. And so we aspired to something. And over a period of time, that aspirational value, there's people of different ages, ethnicities, races, you name it, that value has come out to be a reality, and we aspire to that. So in that, if you've got that, we're going to look at how do we get there? How do we align my life with my values? Number one, I need to discover what I value. I talked about that. You can ask a friend, ask your children. As parents, one of the most important things you do is impart values to your kids. I've said this before, I believe. One of the prayers, that I wasn't raised as a Christian, but I always thought was interesting, was this prayer. The prayer people taught their kids for generations. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Isn't that an interesting prayer to teach little children before they go to bed? Alone. In the dark. And by the way, I found this one out. I didn't know this verse was part of it too. I just discovered this one. That's why I included it. It goes on to say this. Our days begin with trouble here. Our life is but a span. And cruel death is always near. So frail a thing as man. Good night, honey. Hope you sleep well. Cruel death is right around the corner. Now you say, what is the matter with these people? Well, I think it really goes back to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. And this is in the Bible, but not in your outline. This verse, and I think they're really relating to that in this prayer. All people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. And what it's saying is there are things that seem super big, but they're temporal. They're not eternal. It could be even a job. It could be relationships. And you know what the hard part is? The most sacred relationships. And I believe when we interact with another human being, that we are doing the very work of God. Even in your workplace, you're doing the work of God. But people will move away. People will die. People will refuse to forgive. People will jettison their family for a career, maybe for another person. People will hold on to an addiction. They'll hold on to bitterness. And in that, we can be left really empty because our primary value has not been something that lasts for eternity. It hasn't been the God value. And you say, I'm not there yet. Well, I'd like to ask you, would you consider being there? See, we understand Jesus' value for us. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, you are not your own, you were bought at a price. Jesus introduced a different value system. He was hated and he didn't hate back. People had contempt for him, he didn't show contempt for anyone. People hurt him and he forgave. And he said, would you consider, if you feel a little bit of this life angst, would you consider a different set of values for your own life? See, we all long for really what can't be provided, this side of heaven. Well, and then number two, I need to adjust my values when needed. It says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Three primary idols, non-God-centered idols we find in the Old Testament are Baal, the god of sex, Molech, the god of violence, Mammon, the god of money. Sort of not a lot changes, right? And we'd say, hey, if that's true of me, I don't want it to be any true anymore. And so we make a decision. And then part of that is number three, count the cost. We see this through the stories, the parables as well. Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? I heard a speaker say this about values. He said, if you want your leadership to matter, lead in the things that matter to God. And then there's paying the price. This is where we go from intention to action. Have you ever come across something, and maybe the faith that you've been looking at is just sort of a weak faith, and it's not worth sacrificing for or giving something up for. But, you know, we look at our lives, and we find something. We maybe find a relationship, and we're saying, hey, I didn't know I needed that relationship, but I want that relationship. Any of you had that, or maybe it's an item? No? Okay. Have any of you ever been to Costco? Yeah, right. You go in there, you find a bunch of stuff that you didn't know existed, but now you desperately need. We have a number of people who work at Costco who go here, and one of them described they have the wow wall as you go in, and that's all those amazing items. And then, of course, the TVs stare you down. I have old tube TV, and I know you didn't even know they made those anymore. My children think, really, they've called Child Protective Services because they think it's so cruel. And then I see, because I've like skipped a few generations of TVs, and they have the LED TVs, and I'm like, these things are amazing. And now they have the smart TVs. I don't want a dumb TV. I want a smart TV. And I get the sense that, and at Costco, one of their marketing strategies is you have to buy it when? Now. Why? Because it goes away, right? Because they trick us. And they have a limited inventory. And one of those is great marketing strategy, but I can tell you this, when it comes to things that maybe a value you're putting off, that there will be some things that'll go away. It does, and I'm not saying to beat yourself up for the rest of your life, but the truth is, your children will only be young once. You can love them later on, but you cannot get that back. They'll only be teenagers once, and we praise the Lord Jesus Christ for this as well. And You know, when your spouse is feeling, and you feel like they should be happy, and they're not, and maybe it doesn't have anything to do with you, there's a time you can be there for them. And if you're not, that will pass. And it'll be a time you don't want to go away. See, God gives us these moments. I honestly, as a church, I'm going to talk about this in a moment, and I have no shame in inviting you to some of the values of what God is doing in our hearts and in this place. But I want to talk about first about your own relationships. For me, I know one of the responsibilities God has given me is to care for my mom. My mom became a follower of Christ when she was 56 years old. She was from the 60s generation, and you know she carried that like right into the 90s. And so with that, there's a lot of regret. Some of my brothers and sisters aren't doing so well with it. But I know that we can't redo the past, but we can have the future, and I want to be there. My mom's blind now, lives in an assisted living center. She had her 81st birthday this week. It was great. In fact, I went to Pinkabella Cupcakes. That was great. Bought her, because, you know, she's blind, so a cake is sort of hard to navigate with a knife. I thought that would be really a poor idea. In fact, I went to Pinkabella, and the person said, "Hey, do you go to Timberlake?" I'm like, "Yeah, I show up occasionally." not kidding on that one. So evidently, I'm a really good speaker. and memorable. yeah, I've just given you lots of reasons to go to another church. So I'm there, and by the way, I am like totally popular at the nursing home. I am. So I brought all the cupcakes for friends and all of that, and I knew it was one of those moments, and it is so easy to justify why not to do that. And I say that not to tell you how great I am, because, see, there's a lot of moments I wasn't there. I wasn't there for my own children or my wife. And I just said, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I want to aspire to something different. And now that has started to become true of me. And there are things you say, well, you know, if you knew my past, I couldn't. Yes, you can. It says in the Bible, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Well, what every part of the old. It may be what you've stole, every sexual sin, every evil thought. That is gone. That is no longer in play unless we drag it into our future. And so what I'd say is, would you aspire to be what God calls you to be? It's called, theologically, it's called the sanctification process. We become more and more like him as we're in his presence. And it doesn't happen overnight. In fact, I had a great conversation. Our Saturday night service, I was having a conversation with a lady, just came to follow Jesus, been coming here a number of months, really fun, animated. I learned, she swore like a sailor. I learned a few new swear words I didn't even know existed. And you say, isn't that awful? You know, it takes time. It takes time. Everyone has a next right step. And it'll take time. And God will not grow impatient with you. But if it's sort of like Newton's first law of motion. A body at rest tends to stay in rest. A body in motion tends to stay at motion. If you're not taking a step towards God, it's very unlikely you will. So you need to take that first step. As we move into the fall and we get a sense of what the Lord is doing, I would invite you to be part of that. Say, what do you want me to do? Give or serve or, yeah, all of it. Yeah, would you invest in God's kingdom work? Would you say, you know what, I know I'm busy, everyone's busy, but I don't want anyone to stand alone. So it doesn't mean, you know, you can do whatever your serving might be. Maybe you're part of the prayer team. You say, I travel so much, I can't do it. But could you pray for people? We believe that God is present when his people pray. You say, I'm not even a good prayer. That doesn't matter. But what about investing in God's work? Yeah. Would you say, you know, some of you, you've been sort of sitting on the sideline there. But you say, I can do that. Or I could do more. And I'm happy with what God has done in our church. In fact, it's interesting in terms of missions and community outreach, all of that. We've never done, last year by far, more than ever in the history of the church. But there's also needs right here in our own community and in our own church. And are we going to shut down? Not a chance. But are there strategic things we can do to invest in the lives of kids, of seniors, of other people? Yeah. And so you say, hey, I'll get involved. Or maybe it's inviting a friend. Some of you see that invite card and you wonder why there's a postcard that falls out of your bulletin every week. And you could invite someone. And here's what I always say, is if you don't like it, don't come back. I'll never bug you again. But it's saying, I value the things that God values. And that's changed lives. In fact, the reality is, if you don't value that, you probably won't be around here very long. We won't kick you out, but you're gonna say, if that's not a high value that you have in your life. Here's what it says in Galatians 2:20. It says, the Apostle Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, he made the first move. Well, number five, I celebrate the win. Now, in the story, the person who buys the field, the person who buys, they give everything they have. They're broke beyond that. And they said, it was worth it. Romans 5:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, and underline this, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus put it this way, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. You say, celebrate. He's talking about death? That doesn't seem like a lot to celebrate. In fact, I've told you before, the Bible talks about death as the enemy. You know what I want people to say about me at my funeral? Look, he moved. That's what I want them to say about me. Yeah, so, but there's a good kind of death. There's a kind of death where there are things that have become real central in my life that I would have never told you should have been central. Because I want to live for better things. And that's a life eternal and a life abundant. Eternity doesn't start when you die. You should be living that with Jesus Christ right now. And maybe today you say, you know, I have some business to do with God. And that business would be, God, will you help me recalibrate this thing? Because what I've given my life for is good. Not many of us here have given our life to evil. But I want to live not only for good things, but for God things. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that as we are confronted with this simple but challenging truth we find in the story, Lord, that we have an opportunity before us. And God, we want to move towards you. Lord, as we do that, we know your heart for us. And that's as you promise in the Bible, that you won't leave us or give up on us. And so, God, there are some of us who are here today, and we've not made that decision of faith. And if that's you and you say, Ben, I don't even know God the way that you talk about him, but I would like to, I'd like to invite you to take that step. And it's as simple as inviting Jesus Christ into your life. It's profound, but it's a simple decision. Because he has done everything to prepare the way. And that this is what it means. Is you'd pray to God, you pray silently, I'll pray out loud, don't want to call you out. But you'd say something like this, God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love me when I don't love me. And God, I want to follow you. I ask forgiveness for my sins and thank you for what you provided through your son, Jesus. And God, I need that forgiveness. And God, I would ask that you would help me to live in a way that makes sense. Lord, that I would live out the values that I say I believe in, that the outside and the inside would be the same. But God, that I would also value what you value. If you have taken that step, know that you don't need to worry about God's response because God gave his one and only son. His highest value is you. And the Bible says that really the only thing we can bring to God is ourselves and our sin. And God meets us right where we're at. And he meets you today. Know that if you've invited him in your life, that you are a new person. That and there's a beginning of a process where God will work in your life in ways you never thought. And Lord, there are some of us who are here today. We're Christ followers. But if we were going to be honest about what's at the core of who we are, there needs to be a change. And so, Lord, we want to go from intention to action, and help us in that. Lord, help us not to leave this place without taking that step. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.